Well, welcome to Unit 7. You've persevered, and I have great hopes that you'll be able to get through this unit and the rest of the units successfully. I hope you're enjoying what you've learned. This is still Jim Losfall, and I'm still teaching practical mathematics. We're going to look at purchase orders, invoices, and profit and loss. Now, let's talk about invoices for a minute, okay? If you're in a business, you're probably going to need to create invoices. This is something that goes with sales that you've made it. It's a document, each one that the seller will create, send to the buyer, documenting the transaction. There's a number of elements that tend to be in it. We'll talk about those in a little bit. But this is a formal document. It tells the person on the other end, the buyer, what's happening, what is in the shipment, etc. Things that you want to know. So it documents products, services, quantities, agreed prices, agreed everything for the product or service that the seller has provided the buyer and that the buyer has agreed to have. Okay. Now this protects both the buyer and the seller from error, from fraud. This is a document where you can say, here's what I put in that box for you, or you can look at it and know, here's what's supposed to be in the box for me, and be fairly confident that it's right. It also gives you something when you're shipping or when you're receiving to be sure that what you think you've got is what you really did get. So what does an invoice look like? First of all, it's going to have the word invoice. Sometimes you might want to say tax invoice. Let's just stick with the concept invoice for right now. It's going to have a unique reference number. Now, the importance of a unique reference number to the invoice is that if you file these things by a means of filing that includes the invoice number in the title on your computer, it makes it easier to find what you're talking about. It makes it easier to find the information you need on a in a file on the disk that you're storing it on. It makes life a lot easier for you and also for the person that the invoice is going to. It's going to have a date for it. Sometimes it's important to know when it was shipped out, when things were done. Credit terms. Now, for most of you, there's not going to be a problem with that, but sometimes it's like issues in terms of what interest is going to be charged on funds not paid after a length of time. If there's like a payment plan that's going to be created, you want to put that on the invoice so that everybody is on the same plan. Everybody's thinking the same things at the same time. Makes for fewer disagreements. You may have to put in tax payments. In this country, we have a sales tax, at least in the state that I live in. In European countries, they have something called a value-added tax. Where you live, there may be other different names for it, but transactions are often taxed by the either state, federal, or city governments. You want the person that's receiving the invoice to know what those taxes look like. Obviously, you want to have the information about the person selling it, who you are, how to contact you. There might be an issue with the invoice, and of course, they'll want to call you, let you know what's going on. Now, it may be that there is a tax or corporate registration of the seller. Not everywhere requires that, but if they do require that you have one, the path of wisdom is probably going to be to put that on your purchase order, or in this case, your invoice. Who's buying it, and the contact details for them. If you have to go back to this, it's kind of nice to know how to get hold of the person you need to talk to, isn't it? I think so. So that's a significant issue as well. You'll also want to have the date the goods and services were sent or perhaps delivered. A purchase order number or tracking numbers like that that the buyer has put on it. This helps them back reference to the order that they have sent to you so that they know that, okay, this matches up with this, and yeah, these are the things on it. Yeah, it matches with what you sent. Okay. Then you want to have a description of the products that have been ordered, the price per unit, and how many units are to be provided, if that's relevant, the total amount of what money is expected to be paid, and you may need to break the taxes down if that's relevant. That's going to be situational. And again, like I said, payment terms at the end, how it's going to be paid, when you expect it paid by, details about charges for late payment. And you know, for a large enough order, maybe you're going to be talking about how much per unit time, you know, such and so amount of money per month until the balance is paid off. Maybe something about interest rates on the money that is owed until such time it is paid off. You've already got the tools for being able to calculate that kind of thing out. Was in an earlier lesson. So that's kind of useful to know. Now, a purchase order is very much the same sort of thing. It's just that the finger is pointing in a different direction. It's the mirror image of an invoice. This is a document being sent, and the buyer is saying, this is what I want to purchase. You're the seller. Here it is. It also should indicate the products or services requested, how many of each item there is, and what the agreed upon price is. And it, again, just like an invoice, this acts as a protection for the person who is buying and for the person who is selling, both protection from error and protection from fraud. These things need treated like a legal document because, to a great degree, they are. So what is the structure of a purchase order? Of course, the words purchase order. Again, the unique reference number for the purchase order. This is for filing purposes. This is for cross-reference purposes. When it was ordered. Again, the tax payments, if they're relevant. Government sales tax, value-added tax, whatever you have to deal with. The name and contact details for the buyer. Tax or company registration, again, for the seller. This is starting to look pretty familiar, isn't it? Some places, there'll be a tax-free status that you'll need to document. In this country, certain kinds of organizations, particularly not-for-profits and religious organizations, are not taxed on purchases they make or sales that they make because the government feels that they shouldn't be done. How it is where you're at, I don't know. Of course, the name and the contact details of the seller, the date the goods and services agreed to be delivered are supposed to happen, how it's going to be shipped. Is it going to be delivered by truck from your facility, if it's, that would be for somebody nearby? Are you going to put it in the postal service, box it up and mail it, or post it, as they say in other countries? Are you going to use some of the carriers, like DHL or FedEx or UPS? Then you get the description of the products, the prices of the products, and the number of them desired, the total cost of the order with a breakdown of taxes, payments including the method of payment and the date of payment. And by the way, somewhere in here, you might want to throw in the price of shipping and handling. So let's look at profits and loss for a moment. It's our next major concept. And this is, again, mainly a financial issue. Okay, so let's take some basic definitions to work with. Revenue, that's what your product or services generate. It's the incoming money or whatever that you gain. The cost of goods sold, the goods sold, are the variable expenses related to the production and or the sale of your product. If you're not making the product, what it costs you to purchase it, the cost perhaps of storage, if it's going to be in your warehouse for a period of time, etc. Your operating expenses, fixed expenses, rent, utilities, telephone, all of that sort of thing. The operating income is the profit after your operating expenses are deducted. Your earnings before taxes is all of your income, including whatever other income is generated besides the revenue from sales, but before the government takes its cut. Income taxes are the federal, state, and local taxes. I don't know what it would look like in your country, but in our country, at each level of government structure, they all want their cut of your cash flow. And of course, the net earnings is the profit generated by the business. That means all of the income minus all of the expenses, which would include any taxes that accrue based on your activities. A final concept here is looking at your net earnings. Your net earnings are the revenue total minus the cost of the goods sold. Your gross profit minus your operating expenses. These are all the same thing. They're all net earnings. Your operating income plus any other income minus your expenses. And your earnings before taxes minus your income taxes and perhaps other sorts of taxes that you may have to deal with. Now, this has been a quick run over all these concepts, okay? I'm doing this mostly to give you a ground basis, a mental thing to organize what's going on so that when you go back to the reading, which you're probably going to have to do again because this has been a quick run-through, you'll at least have a mental framework to work with. Now, a lot of the reading goes into more detail than what I've done here, and that's intentional. Listening to me drone is probably not the greatest fun you've ever had in your life. So, here's basics to work with. Now, go back and redo the readings if you haven't already. And we're going to move forward. I'm going to work with my Excel spreadsheet, and let's just see if we can create an invoice with Excel. Okay, we are now back onto the spreadsheet. And again, you'll notice I'm using a rather more modern spreadsheet than I did on my text that I created for you. So, we're going to try building an invoice here. So, first thing let's do, let's just put the word invoice in here. Trust me, we'll make this prettier later. Then let's come down a ways. Maybe down about, let's say here, and put item number. Now that would, I assume, be a unique number or a string of characters and numbers that identify the specific product that we're talking about. Here in the U.S., we call it SKU numbers. I have no idea what those initials stand for, nor do I particularly care. But it identifies the particular object unequivocally. Now let's see here. Let's put in the description whatever that thing is, how many of them we want. Don't worry, I know it looks like I've overwritten it, but that's not going to be a problem. Then price, that's price per unit. And then the total. Doesn't look like much yet. We'll get there. So, one thing we need to do is put more room for the description. As you recall, you get up here and you can catch this little area here. You see how that cursor's changed. We can slide description over like this a little bit. Give you a little bit more work room. I think we maybe need a little bit more than that as well. Now, let's be fancy about this. Again, here's the thing for making the things go into the center. And here's the thing for making it bold, which definitely helps. And let's see here. Let's just put an extra column in here between price and total. And you remember you do that with the insert function here. we insert a column. Now, I don't need these to be particularly wide, so I want to tighten these up a little bit. And this one for the number, well, we hope it's a big number of things, but I'm a realist, okay? And let's narrow this down, because I know what I'm going to put in there. I'm not going to need a lot of room. Now, this is all going to be integers. No decimal places here. So let's format that number as just a number. This is where you control the number of decimal places. Let's take that to 0. Price, we want to go with currency. And we're going to go with U.S. dollars because that's simply what I'm familiar with. Don't take that as being a slur on whatever currency you want. And then the total, let's take that to U.S. dollars again. So far, we're still not very impressive. Now, let's get up here. We want invoice really to be centered across all of this area here. So let's get into alignment. Let's tell it I want it centered. See, I can do that here. And let's center it vertically as well. And let's merge the cells. Clicked on that. Suddenly it's centered. It's still not very eye-catching. So let's come up here. This is the name of the font that we're using, Calibri. It's as good as any other font, in my opinion. And this is how big it is. This is the number of so-called points it is. Let's take that up to 20. Let's go to 24 points. That's already considerably more visually interesting to look at. And, of course, in here, number of them. And, of course, at whatever amount. And then price for each, and then of course the total will be the number of units times the price each. Okay, that's a little sloppy looking. We don't really want the at there, we don't want the each there, unless we've actually got something in the cells. So I'm just going to type that in. If, and I want to check the price. That is equal to a blank. I'm going to put a blank in there. Otherwise, now this is actually a text unit, so we have to put quotes around the text we want in there. It's just one of those little things. It needs to know what's going on, and we just have to tell it. Hit the button the way I didn't plan on it. So we've got to do that, and then close the parentheses. So if there's nothing in there, it disappears. We'll do the same thing here. Now, I'm going to put a little gloss in here that's not critically necessary. But I'm going to put a little space before the each. I mentioned that in the text portion of this, and that just makes it more readable. And then here, we're going to do the same thing. If F11 equals, then that formula. Now, this one I goofed up because I forgot to put the equal sign in there. The machine is very, very literal minded, and I actually want F11, not F10. Let's get that changed. And that's good. And then let's see if this one, yep, I got F11 in that one. So we've got it right. So far, so good. Now let's see what this looks like if we print it. File, print. This is just the name of the printer it's going to use, and I'm not actually going to print it. What I see here is I have room for more in the description. So let's get back. Let's go home. Let's get back in here. I can wind this. Now again, notice this little dotted line here. That little dotted line is that's where the page end is going to be. The side of the page is going to hit there. Nice to know that. So I can grab up here and I can widen this quite a good deal, actually. I don't want to quite go that wide. Let's narrow it up a little bit. Now down here at the bottom, okay, we want to put some let's put some stuff here in the top first. Invoice number. And then you put the invoice number here. And we can put in date. And then the date can go in here. So I want to fuse all of those. So let's get in there. Oh. I can merge that, but I don't want to center it. So let's merge those cells. Again, click here. You see what I'm doing? I don't need to do anything here. And now, let's make everything stand out here a little further. Let's get into alignment. Border. Let's put an outline on the outside. And let's put all of the stuff on the inside as well. And suddenly, we've got stuff wrapped around this. Rather nice. So, let's make our life even easier. This is who it's going to. And let's put in here who it's coming from. Great. Trying to look uptown here. Let's highlight this. And let's get into alignment, border, and let's just put the little outline on the outside. And let's do the same here. Again, we're starting to look just a little bit more professional. We're not quite done yet, but we've moved in the right direction. So, there we are. And now you can see that we've got boxes around it. This dotted line is running over the edges. We'll look at that later. So, let's see here. Let's say it's from my company. And let's see here. Lovely. You can put your information in here. Let's see, who am I going to sell this to? It doesn't much matter. We can fill that in later. So let's come down here a bit. Down here at the bottom. Let's merge all of these cells. Let's merge and center in those cells. Center it, bottom, and let's center that as well. and let's merge it. Let's extend this to include these as well. What do we want to put in here? Well, that doesn't look very good, so let's get into alignment and give it one other command. I want you to see what happens here, okay? I'm telling it to wrap the text, and suddenly now the text will fit in there. This is something you need to remember. Okay, right above that, let's see here. We want the grand total. We want shipping. We want taxes. And we want total cost. Now let's highlight this. We want these to be visible. We want them marked out, so let's get into alignment. And let's get to the border. We just want a top border, which you see here, and a bottom border, which you see here. Nice. Now let's put a border around this. Border. Outline. Starting to look pretty uptown. Let's take this whole thing here, every square inch of it, and let's put an outline around the outside. For some reason, we lost a lot of our work here, so I'm just going to go back in and put that in and put the bottom line in, and it should make it all show up, and it didn't. So we're just going to do it one at a time. I'm not proud. Patience is required in the creation of this sort of thing. It's not that hard to do, you just have to do it. You'll notice that if it's got that little blue border around it, but it also shows you what you're going to be seeing here. There you are. So, let's take these things here, now that we've got it all, highlight it, Control C, and copy it all the way down here. Doesn't look like there's much of anything going on here, but let's just see what happens when I put some stuff in here. Now, the tax rate, let's just say that your tax rate is 5%, which would be 0.05. I don't know what it is where you're at, but I'm going to put that in just as a number to work with. I'm not going to require you to hang your hat on it. Now we need to get the tax being this total here. Times the tax right here. Okay, put the logic in. That looks nice. So let's just put a total in here for fun. We'll do something else later. Not too bad. Again, this is going to round it to the nearest cent or the nearest fraction. So let's clear this out. And let's get back to working here. Let's start adding together a little bit of information here. Let's see here. Let's put this thing all in a border as well, just to make it look a little bit more to the point. Let's get the outside and let's get the inside. Let's get it all there. Now we have it looking a little bit more to the point. We can tighten this one up a little bit, and we can widen item number just a little bit. Now I want you to notice something as I do this, okay? I change these cell dimensions by doing this. The cell size tracks it at the top, at the bottom, wherever it's at. It's going to track that. So let's say we've got item 2324. And it's a big red blob sticker. That's not big read, that's big red. You'll notice this is easily correctable. And let's say you want 15 of them. And they're going to cost you 3 cents each. Pops right into place. What else have we got here we can do? How about, and that is, stuff to get the sticky off with. Those are a little bit more expensive. Let's say they're $4.95 each. Are you starting to get the feel? Oops. Put that back in there. It's one thing you've got to be careful about. $4.95. A little practice goes a long way on this. And let's see here, what else we want to do? Blue rings, that's item 988. And let's see here, size 11, that's blue rings. I don't know why I need a blue ring, but let's put that in there. And golly, how much are those? Ooh, those are $15. Those turkeys are expensive. And then apple pies. You knew I'd get something to eat in here somehow, didn't you? And I want 6 of those. Well, I'm a greedy little fellow, aren't I? And those things are $7.38 each. Obviously, I'm making these figures up just for the fun of it. So now, we need the grand sum of that. We need to add all of these up together. So guess what we're going to do? Remember this command? Click and drag. Now this grand total, we want to add up all of these three. And if the shipping and handling is, let's say, $2.50. So you've got a nice looking invoice here. Now let's try to print this. Print. Now let's look at the printers available. That's my hard copy printer. But you'll notice on this thing, I can actually print this to a PDF file. Now this is Office 2019. And it gives me the ability to print this invoice. We don't have anything in the invoice, though. But this is what it's going to look like, okay? We don't have anything in the invoice to tell us who it's going to. So let's put it in there. And let's see here. And of course, you've got phone number, room for phone number here, you've got room for fax number here, same thing over here, okay? Now, in here, I just would like to have something to mark this off on the side. So let's just get in there and slick up the border. Let's put like that in there. Again, you can see just a small change, but it makes a big difference. Let's see, invoice number. Yeah, I know, math freak, date. Oh, let's say take a silly date. And there you have an invoice. So let's go to the printer again. Let's print this. This is what it's going to look like when it's done. You can see you've got all of the lines in there we asked for. We've got all of this in here. You might want to get rid of this line, so let's go back and do that. And let's do that by doing the alignment thing and merge the cells. Now watch what happens. Price is centered over this. And let's look at how it prints again. Again, I'm going to tell it to use the PDF. Now let's get back in there. You'll notice that I've got a fax unit here. Okay? I can actually electronically send the fax from my computer to someone else. This is convenient. You can create a PDF that saves this information. You want to put the invoice number, date, and the recipient, perhaps part of the date, part of the name of the file you save, but print it to PDF, and then come back and fax it, if you wish, to the person that's going to be receiving the shipping. This looks pretty clean. I think it looks fairly professional. Perfect?
No.
But unless you've got a very large number of orders in there, it's going to get you by. So let's go back. If we want to change this into a purchase order, and let's get in here and then you can fill in the check number. And suddenly your straightforward purchase order has now become, or rather your invoice has now become, a purchase order. Of course you'll want to swap these things across, but you're the one that you want it shipped to. This is the one you want it shipped. Let's take a quick look at that and see how it looks. Again, we're at print to PDF. You could send this in, and any reasonable company that you've done business with will, I suspect, accept this as a valid purchase order, especially if you send money with it. They'll be very appreciative of you. You could actually even fax this in from here, and instead of having a check number here, put the credit card that you want to use down here. It's not hard to do. And you have your own purchase order put together, printable, potentially even faxable. And if you have your own printer, you can print it off for your own storage as well as saving it electronically. Again, I make no bones about the fact that you can get software for very little cost, or even better, in my opinion, for free, that'll do all of this for you. But being able to do it yourself is kind of nice, and as I said, it saves you potentially a few bucks. So much for Unit 7. I'll look forward to talking to you in Unit 8.